Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Katie Britton. Author Alison Newell is no stranger to hard work. After completing her Immortal series, she moved on to the Riley Bloom books for tweens and has just started another YA series called The Soul Seekers. The common thread is one of mysticism, shamanism, and chakras. While creating her own worlds that include alternate planes as well as the here and now, she writes as if we were experiencing what her characters are. Her newest books are Whisper from the Riley Bloom series and Faded, the first in the quad of Soul Seekers. I spoke with Noelle about the books and how she's able to keep up with all the settings and characters.
I actually write one book at a time. You know, so I never work on two different series at the exact same time. So I'll finish a Riley book, I'll take, you know, the afternoon off, and then I'll go straight into a Faded book. So I bounce them that way, and because the worlds are quite different, so it's easier to just, you know, finish one story, complete that before I move on to the next.
The worlds are very different, and I want to start with Riley Bloom. This is the fourth book, and Riley, she is just, precocious isn't even the word, because she's old enough to know that she's just not being difficult, but she is her own person, and she has her own way of doing things, and thinks, well, if you don't like it, too bad.
Yeah, I really admire that part of her. Riley is my favorite character to write in that she's those scenes that you described, but she also has this incredible vulnerability about her. And the circumstances of her life or her death, as it may be, and her yearning for her family in her old life and her yearning to be 13. You know, she thinks it's going to be this wonderful, that one day turning from 12 to 13 is going to be this remarkable event. And I remember feeling the same way at her age. So I sort of drew upon my own, you know, tweenage years to create that character.
And Riley came from your first series, The Immortals. What was it about her that made you think, well, I think she would be a great main character?
You know, she's such a scene stealer, and I originally intended to give her a very small, minor role in Evermore. I wanted the main character, Everbloom, to have a connection to her family, to sort of show that she could, you know, see the dead and converse with the dead. And I thought, well, I'll give her a little sister. And Riley just took off, and she would nudge her way into scenes, and I found myself indulging her, because every time I wrote a scene that involved Riley, I was smiling and having fun with it. And I grew so fond of her that at the end of Evermore, I was really trying to do my best to keep her around. But it was Ever's story, not Riley, so I had to let her go. And not long after that, my publisher approached me and said, you know, this is a really strong character. What do you think about giving her own series? And I didn't even think about what that series would be. I just said yes, because I knew she had her own stories to tell. I knew she had a voice that was yearning to get out. And so I, you know, came up with this idea of her being ensconced in her afterlife in a place called the Here and Now. And she's a soul catcher where she has to come down to the earth plane and convince lingering souls to cross over. And of course, Riley, being completely overconfident, always thinks it's going to be really easy. And of course, it never is.
And I think that's the wonderful thing about being that age, where you do feel like you know better than everybody else.
Yeah, I think it was the last time I ever felt that way. It was at age 12.
I enjoy that her dog Buttercup came with her, and actually he led her parents to the Here and Now.
Yes, I have a real affinity for dogs, and I currently do not have one, so Buttercup is sort of my imaginary dog. And, you know, I like this idea of animals of any kind, you know, having their own afterlife experience and being able to commune with, you know, the people that they loved on Earth. So I wanted to give that to Buttercup and make him really a pivotal character in Riley's life.
Obviously, she has the connection to him because of her human life, but also when Buttercup does dog things and decides, you know what, I think I like this other person better. They smell better than you, so I'll follow them for a while. And she's just like, traitor.
Yeah, she takes it very personal.
And that definitely shows with Bodhi. And Bodhi is her guide in soul catching to help her become a higher level soul catcher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted her to have someone to guide her because she desperately needs that. And someone that would, you know, kind of call her on her stuff and sort of force her to grow up. And he's also, you know, a bit of a secret crush for her. She's so headstrong, it takes her a really long time to realize that she actually, you know, does have these sort of crushy feelings for Bodhi, because he's quite cute and quite charming, and even in the afterlife, the girls still like him. So it's kind of a fun relationship that the two of them have.
And she's obsessed with the glow that happens when you've done something well and you're moving up in the ranks. Your colors, they get more vibrant and they can change colors. And so she has become completely obsessed with this.
She craves approval and acknowledgement. And I was also the youngest in my family, so I know what that's like. And she, you know, is very success-driven. And she has it in her head that the way to reach her goal of being 13 is to, you know, accomplish every task that is set before her, so she will glow so bright they cannot deny her the chance to grow older. This is her path that she's chosen, and she's absolutely convinced of her rightness in this.
And I think in this book, Whisper, we see more than ever how Riley is growing as a person.
Yeah, Whisper was a really almost kind of poignant book for me to write about her. Of course, I had all the usual Riley-style fun writing the book, but there was also a lot of growth happening for Riley and a lot of understanding, and she really is on the precipice of sort of transcending her former self, and that particular book holds a special place in my heart for that reason.
And part of the adventure or the soul-catching of Riley's in this book is to go to Rome. And in the book, she gets to go all of these places that she's always dreamed of going but never was able to, having died at 12.
Right. And, you know, it's almost like being this proud parent when you create this character you're really fond of. And I like to be able to sort of give her these things and give her these experiences, but it's always with a twist, and she always has to work for it. So she gets to go to Rome, and she's so excited to be there, but then it turns into something that she wasn't quite expecting.
No, and that's when we meet Messalina.
Yes. You know, she's a very tempting, charismatic figure, and Riley really finds herself drawn in. And you know, as an author, it's really our job to make the character's life as difficult as possible. But in this particular case, I got to sort of turn that on its head and give Riley everything she's ever wanted, and then make her see if that's really what she wanted and if it's really what she thought it would be. And so that was kind of fun for me to be able to do that.
I liked that aspect of it, because you're thinking, wow, what has been happening is that a lot of soul catchers have been trying to get through to a particular ghost and have him cross over to the here and now. And you really think that it could possibly be the first book for her not to complete a soul catch and possibly go into the next book.
Yeah, and the idea of failing is devastating to someone like Riley. It's not even part of her vocabulary. She can't even imagine failing, because she's so intent on succeeding and getting this goal that she wants so badly. And she has a moment of extreme growth in the choice that she does make regarding the soul catch and then her own sort of destiny, without giving anything away. And, you know, it was almost like watching a child grow up and being proud of the decisions that they made. And, yeah, like I said, I have a real fondness for that book and the choices that Riley made and the things that she experienced and the growth that she gained along her journey.
And growth and how strong your female characters are is, I think I enjoyed that the most. I mean, if we move on to Faded, the Soul Seeker series, and it's the first book in that series, Dare, she also is very strong-minded, but she's her own person, and she doesn't apologize for it, and I liked that so much about that character.
Yeah, I really enjoyed writing Dare Santos. You know, on the one hand, she has sort of the life that initially, when I first started writing her, I thought, gosh, this girl is so lucky. She's 16 years old. Her mom is a Hollywood makeup artist. She's grown up traveling the globe, moving from movie set to movie set, and it just seems really glamorous on the surface. But as I got to know her through writing her, I realized that life actually has left her incredibly lonely. She's never lived in any one place long enough to make a real friend or have a home-cooked meal or even go to a school. All of her school has been with tutors on the set or on the internet. So she's very disconnected from the sort of normal life that the rest of us experience. And it's left her very sort of sophisticated and world-weary and jaded with a lot of emotional barriers. I thought it would be interesting to take a character like that and drop her in these tiny, small, fictional town of Enchantment, New Mexico. You know, it's sort of a three-block town almost with the grandmother she's never met, and see how she fares. And she's going to have to succeed in her life in Enchantment and in her destiny as a seeker, she has to open herself up and allow other people in and start caring about people. And that makes her very vulnerable, and that's almost more risky and scary for her than the actual task that she's supposed to endure in order to complete her seeker training. So she's very strong-minded, very self-sufficient, but again, she has this real vulnerability because she spent her entire life saying goodbye to people, so it's just easier not to get involved at this point.
It's hard to stay uninvolved, especially when you're having these dreams with the most beautiful man ever, infiltrating them, and then she meets this person as well as a lookalike in real life. And then she's thinking, I need to keep my distance. And as a soul seeker, she can see things that others don't.
Yeah, she can see the layers that exist in the world that other people live within, the world that we live within, the familiar world, but she can see the worlds within the worlds. And she has a knowledge that is very unusual and will grow throughout the series and lead her to her ultimate destiny. As far as the boys go, I have this real fascination with twins. My husband was one half of a twin, and although they were nothing alike and didn't look anything alike, they had this really intense connection. And I've always been fascinated with that idea. So these two boys playing off each other is something that I'm going to continue to explore throughout, you know, the arc of the series.
And like the Riley Bloom books, this novel and this series is steeped in shamanism or in mysticism, and as well as the immortals. What was it about looking into this whole other plane of basing books and having books in these different settings and backgrounds?
You know, I have this habit of stealing from my own life, and I always say if an experience didn't kill me, I'm going to find a way to write about it. And the Immortal series was initially inspired by a time of grief I went through 5 years ago when I lost three people I loved, one of whom was my husband's twin, in 5 months' time. And then right after that, my husband was diagnosed with leukemia, and I almost lost him as well. He's in full remission now, but the first year of that was quite scary. And it got me thinking a lot about the soul's journey, the enduring nature of love, you know, life and death, where we go when the physical body is no longer. And I started reading a lot of metaphysical books, looking for my own answers and comfort. And I was just really driven to write evermore based on all of these scenes that I was learning. And I really poured my grief into that main character. And at the end, when she started to feel better about her losses, I did as well. It was actually very cathartic for me to write that book. I'm very into doing research. Even though I create these fantastical worlds, I like to ground them as much in reality as possible and make them as authentic as possible. So for the Immortal series, I read a lot of metaphysical books. I took a 3-day psychic development seminar with James von Prague. I underwent past life hypnosis, several sessions of that. And throughout my research, themes of shamanism kept appearing. And I was immediately intrigued with this ancient primal practice, but it didn't fit within the world of the Immortals. So I just sort of tucked it away and said, when the Immortals is finished, this is what I want to explore in my next series. So I started reading a lot of books on shamanism, and I took a 2-day introduction to shamanism course where we rattled and journeyed to the lower world and met my spirit animal. And I've had a couple, you know, one-on-one sessions, healing sessions with a shaman. And all of these experiences fed into the books. And I find this idea of you know, there being more to this world than meets the eye, for me that rings true as a person, but as a writer, it gives you just this huge playground to create from.
It's amazing hearing you explain how you were exploring these different worlds and then thinking back on being brought into these places through your novels. I mean, it makes so much sense. It just seems so incredibly well planned out once you got it on the page, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you for saying that. And, you know, the research is ongoing. I traveled to New Mexico as well, where the book takes place. It was a great excuse to travel to one of my favorite places. And I interviewed Native Americans about life on the reservation, and I interviewed local teens about growing up there. You know, I wanted to get it as close to the feel of living there and being there as I possibly could, even though I did choose to make it a fictional town. I didn't want the people of Santa Fe and Taos coming after me for making evil invade their town, so I went the fictional route. But the research is ongoing, and all of those experiences feed their way into the book and hopefully give it, you know, a more authentic feel.
It does, even when they are in the worlds, in the plains, that the average person would not have experienced, you still feel that you're there, and obviously that lends to your writing.
Thank you. I sort of see it as a movie unfolding in my head when I write, so the task is always to sort of, you know, put into words these vivid pictures that I'm watching in my head, and it's a task that's harder than it seems, and it takes several goes to get it as close as I possibly can to that picture, but it's almost a cinematic experience writing these books.
So Faded is a concrete 4-book series?
It is. I have finished Echo. The second book, it picks up right where Faded left off, and that'll be out November 13 of this year. And it'll be followed by Mystic, which I'm working on now, and Horizon in 2013.
Wow. That seems like a lot of work coming at you in a very short amount of time.
Yeah, I have a very tight publishing schedule, but I've had many, many jobs throughout my life. I've been supporting myself since I was 12, so this is as good as it gets. I love what I do. I don't mind, you know, the hours that I spend holed up in my office, shut away from the world, talking to these characters. It's really a dream come true, and I feel pretty grateful to be here.
Well, the name of the first book in the Soul Seeker series is Faded, and the newest Riley Bloom is Whisper. Allison Noel, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It was great talking to you.
Again, Allison Noel's books are Faded, published by St. Martin's Griffin, and Whisper, published by Square Fish. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.